know, it's important to support. You know, there are so many Christians say, well, I can't get involved in politics. We're not asking you to get involved in politics, but we are asking you to get involved in government. Amen. God established this country. There's two nations that God founded. One was Israel and the other was the United States of America. And we have a stewardship in as citizens because it is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's the way it's designed. And if we don't get involved in government and speaking the right things, the devil will be glad to take over. And those are your kids. Those are your marriages. Those are the TV and the things that you see on TV and all of the influence of the enemy. He is using an all-out assault. So why should we not stand up and speak the right things? Amen? Amen. 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 Just the devil be glad to just come and take over. So, and in many instances and in many ways, he has taken over the media. You know, hey, one word. Remember we talked about that last week? Over in Romania, 1989, I think it was, where this dictator who had brutally 42 years ruled over that nation was speech, and there was like 100,000 people in the square. And everybody's, and all the crowd and getting them stirred up. And one guy, one man, during a lull, said, "Shut up!" One voice. That's all it needs. One spark, one match can make a forest fire. And then people start saying, yeah, bad boy, shut up! And they all start saying, shut up. And then they said, we believe in God. We believe in God. The whole crowd was saying that. Then the guards who were guarding him turned against him. The next day he was tried and executed. The regime of evil was over. One voice did that. You know you have a voice? You have a voice in heaven. God gave that to you. Use it. Use it. Pray for the government. Pray for your churches. Pray for the churches that are failing. Pray for the churches that are still wearing masks and afraid of that, who have taken the woke way, for schools that have taken that avenue. Go along to get along. No, we've been called to do God's work and preach God's truth. And if Jesus wouldn't wear a mask healing everybody, then we shouldn't be wearing them. You know, if they worked, that would be fine. But science has showed that they don't work. Amen. Have you scraped yourself up the floor yet? You know, these are the things that preachers are afraid to talk about. And we are not going to be. The Revolutionary War was won from the Black Robe Regiment. All of the preachers in the pulpits who were preaching against tyranny, who were uniting the people. And there was only 8% of the population in the Revolutionary War that actually fought, and they beat the greatest army in the world. One voice raised up. Don't be silent. Well, let's get right into this. Are you ready? Let's turn to John chapter 19 and let's make the devil mad and Jesus glad. Just hold up your Bible if you have it. And just let's declare this together. My Bible's falling apart, so my life won't. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So in John chapter 19, verse 30, it says this, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He said, "It's finished." This was it. This was it. This is why he came to the earth. He said, "For this cause I came." Amen. "It is finished" is the word teleo. And it means to be, to complete something or to conclude, like we have concluded this chapter. To make an end of something. It means an expiration of something. Something has expired. To finish. It means to make a payment with the implication that all that's necessary has been paid. That's what it means. It means to fill up, denoting that requirements are no longer needed. There's no requirement. There's nothing you can do to add to what Jesus did for you. No amount of works or efforts or good deeds or anything else, or turning over a new leaf, or deciding that you're not going to sin anymore, or anything like, you know, he already paid for it. Just receive him and walk in the gift of righteousness. Doesn't that make sense to you? You can wrestle with the legalities of whatever you think he requires of you and miss the whole thing. Miss the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, "It's finished." When he said, "It is finished," there was a huge shift in the spirit. No longer did he deal with man the way he did under the old covenant. This is a new day, a new and living way. All the testimonies of God and man and his dealings with man under the old covenant, the blessing, the plan of redemption, and all the promises of God and God's dealings with man and the records of the old covenant go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. All was sealed up in a document and placed under the authority of the new covenant, which became the new and living way in which God deals with us, all of which were sealed in the new covenant by that blood. Unchangeable. Inalterable. That blood was poured out on the mercy seat of heaven, sealing eternal redemption for anyone who believes. Are you a whosoever? You better believe you are. Whosoever, to all who believes. That blood was poured out on the mercy seat. That blood is always before the eyes of the Father. Abel's blood cries vengeance. Jesus' blood cries mercy. Always. And all of the dealings with the Father now are mercy, where even his judgment is mercy. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to know these things. That blood in the eyes of the Father continually activates the eternal mercies of God, and his mercies are eternal. They are forever. So God is now more accessible to us than he has ever been. And this day started when Jesus rose from the dead. That's when the church was born, when Jesus rose from the dead. Some people say Pentecost. I don't think so. When Jesus was born, was raised from the dead, it says he was the firstborn of many brethren. He was born from death into life. He was the first man to do that. Adam was born from life into death, and everybody that came after him in that similitude. For us, Jesus died so we could walk freely forgiven, redeemed, reconciled. You ever reconcile your checkbook and everything comes out right? You reconcile. The blood did that. It made you right with God. Restored your fellowship with the Father. And that's something that Christians who are laboring under legalism are trying to live out, and Jesus already accomplished it for them. And this is what messes them up so bad. This is why it's so hard for them to accept the fact that you can know the will of God. You can know the will of God. Let's see. He is eternal God. We're in this dark world. You can't know the will of God. Well, come on, man. If he wanted us to be stupid, why would he have given us this? Yeah, if he wanted us to be stupid, he'd have just left us alone. We'd have taken care of that, really, with a supercharger on it. We'd have annihilated ourselves. It says in Ephesians 5:17, it says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Now, if he didn't want to know, why did he tell us to understand his will? Why did he give us the Holy Spirit so we could pray according to his perfect will? Why did he do all these things? Why did he declare his will be done in earth as it is in heaven? Last week, we opened up a discussion with the leper that came to Jesus. He said, I know that, you know, if you will, you can make me clean. What did Jesus say? I will. Be thou clean. Now, to understand that, this morning, I was thinking about some things. I was in the house downstairs in the kitchen, and I had some notes, and I was going over things and just praying before the Lord. And I see a lot of things that are coming up throughout this summer leading into fall that this church is going to be doing. And I'm thinking, like, Lord, we're doing a lot of stuff here. And on top of that, we know that the Lord's speaking to us about moving. Have you ever moved? It's a lot of work. And I said, Lord, I need strength for this. I'm asking you for strength. He said, what does my word say? I said, well, be strong in the Lord. He said, that's right. Be strong. Jesus said the same thing. He said this. I will. Be thou clean. I will. You be clean. In other words, you be strong. And a lot of strength and a lot of these things is just a matter of decision to agree with the word of God. And when you decide that, and you start walking in it, regardless of what your body says it's weak. Well, who's in charge of your body, you or your body? So here's the thing. As soon as you say, okay, Lord, you said be strong, I be strong right now. And I'm going to walk accordingly. And then when you walk accordingly, all of a sudden the strength comes. When you walk accordingly, how do you know that? Because you know the will of God. When this guy, he didn't know the will of God. He was under torture in his mind, thinking that this sin had made him this way, or his parents' sin. They taught this in the synagogues. In fact, the disciples even said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born this way? He said, none of that. Once that leper knew the will of God, his faith came and he received. He just decided he would be. If God's will is, so is mine. If God's will is for you to be healed, so is yours. So be healed. And if you make a decision that you be healed, then you're going to talk like it, you're going to act like it, and you'll have corresponding actions with your faith, and boom, explode with the power of God. It's done. Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is he the same Jesus as he was then? Is the Holy Spirit the same Holy Spirit as he was then? Yes, sir. I believe that I am impressed with the Lord today to continue on the will of God, on how that we can be sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it is God's will to heal everyone of everything all the time. Amen? Amen. So we're going to get into F.F. Bosworth, who is a powerful evangelist in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Just an amazing man of God. Made this observation one time, and he said, you can read this in Christ the Healer. He wrote that book. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And that goes for everything. That goes for salvation. I mean, how can you get saved if you don't know it's God's will for you to be saved? That's why that Calvinist doctrine that says, well, God saves some, but others he designates for hell. Are you kidding me? What kind of a good dad would that be? A good father would that be? Says, yeah, I created you to go to hell. Are you kidding? That is so wrong. That's not God. God's will is for everybody to be saved. And in fact, I will tell you this. I believe every person born into this world, their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life until such a time that they leave this world without receiving Jesus. That's a love that is preordained to all men. And it's up to them. They can receive Jesus or reject him. And if they leave this world having rejected him, their name is blotted out. That's the blotting out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But he said the will of God, the faith begins where the will of God is known. This applies to answered prayer too. Doesn't say, we have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we ask anything according to his will, we know that if he hears us, we have the petition that we ask. This is the confidence. You have to have faith. You have to know his will. And his will is his word. You can't receive forgiveness of sins without faith. How do you do that? Well, you come to God and say, Lord, it says in your word, in your will, his word is his will, that if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive my sin. So I confess it to you, and I put my faith in that blood, and I receive my forgiveness. And God is absolutely just to forgive you. He paid for that right to forgive you and to be just. He's not just saying wishy-washy stuff and say, oh, yeah, I'll forgive. No, he paid for the right to do that. He is a just God, and he satisfied his own justice with Jesus at the cross. So now he is not only faithful, but he is just to forgive you when you confess your sin. And then it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, little children, these things I'm writing to you that you don't sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation, the full payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world, from Adam to the last person that was ever born. Say, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, you don't know the power of that blood. Amen. Well, praise God. So the question is, like the leper said, what is his will? How can I know his will? How does knowing his will pertain to my particular need in my life? Well, his will is found in his word. His will is his word. You cannot have an honest person say one thing and will another thing, and God is totally honest. In fact, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He is totally pure truth, not shades of it, not parts of it, all pure truth. And his will is his word, and what he says, he will back up. What Jesus said, every word that Jesus ever said, he backed up. And there's an empty tomb over there still now, proving it, testifying to that. He is totally righteous, and he always does all things according to the counsel of his own will. That involves the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all agreeing as one. When the Son sees something, he sees it through the eyes of the Spirit. When the Spirit says something, he speaks it through the Father. They're totally one together. He's totally righteous. Praise God. Amen. So we can know and understand what Jesus said about healing when he said, I will let that thunder through all eternity, that God on the earth, who is manifest in the flesh, God Almighty said, I will. Be thou clean. I will be clean. I will. You can just put that scripture together with other five scriptures in the New Testament that God is no respecter of person, what Pastor Laurie said earlier. God is no respecter of persons. You know what he respects? Faith. So it doesn't, you don't qualify based on your works or your commitments or anything else. You're qualified by what you believe. And if you believe the word of God and you are in agreement with his word, he honors that. That's faith. Is that right? Boy, you guys need this to go to sleep some more or what? This is shouting ground here. This is dancing ground here. I'm on a dance. Everything Jesus did is the full expression of God. So, if you have an argument about God's will to heal everybody of everything all the time, then bring scripture with you. Don't bring experiences that Aunt Nellie was the best person who ever lived in the world. And she asked God to heal her, but she died. You don't know what was going on in her heart. You don't know how much unbelief was in there with the faith that she... You don't know that. Even James says, I can't see the heart of a man, but I know by what they do. That's their faith speaking. You can't see in a person's heart. You can't know. What is the only standard that we have to go by regarding anything with God's will? Right here. Don't let anybody tell you that it's any different than what it is here. Because if it's not in here, it's not God's will. Or if it doesn't match up with what it says here, then it's not God's will. We can be sure that it is God's will to heal everybody of everything all the time because, number one, God's word is medicine. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. We're going to look at this. God's word is medicine. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, my son or daughter, and you know, this is in him, there's neither male nor female. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Keep them before thy, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. And what? Health. That word health is an interesting word. It's the word marpe in Hebrew. And it means, it's translated this way. It's translated as medicine. Here. In the literal sense, it means medicine. Concretely, deliverance, cure, healing, remedy, sound, wholesome. It's medicine to all your flesh. So how can we be sure that God's will is to heal everybody of everything all the time? Well, could you imagine if some of those people who they say is not God's will to heal them all of a sudden got a hold of his word and it became medicine to their flesh? And they got healed. His word is forever settled in heaven. His word, Jesus said, my words will stand forever. Jesus said, be healed. I will be healed. That is his will. And when you, let me put it this way. If you, and I don't know where I heard this or who said it originally, but if you take enough of the word for long enough, the word will heal you. And it doesn't even have to be healing scriptures. The healing is in all of the word of God. It's in all of the, his words are what? Medicine. Does it say all the healing scriptures are medicine to your flesh? It says his words are medicine to all your flesh. And life to those who find them. And healing and medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, now that you've received the word, let it do its work. And keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. That word issues means wellsprings, forces. Out of your heart come the forces. Where does Jesus live in you? In your heart, in your spirit, man. Out of your heart, heart and spirit are kind of synonymous. Out of your spirit flow the issues, the wellsprings. Jesus said this, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. If you're not speaking healing, if you're not quoting the word of God, speaking on it, meditating on the word of God and speaking on it, it's not going to happen. But if you take part and take responsibility as a son of God and you attend to his words and you listen to his words, faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing by the word of God. Here, let them not depart from your eyes. Where are you looking? Are you looking at the problem or are you looking at the word that gives you the solution or the answer or the healing to the problem that's in your body? Is this good? Is this rich? So number one, God's word is medicine. Why would his word and his will be separate for you or for anybody else? No, all can come. He's not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of faith. Faith in his word. And his word always works. And his word is always true. And actually, his word is truth. You can have something wrong in your body, and that's a fact. That may be true. But there's a higher truth. And that truth makes you free from what's going on, from the true fact in your body. Fact and truth are two different things. This is why God says that faith declares things which be not as though they were. When he spoke, he did this from the very beginning. Light be. Light was. Those were the four words that came out of his mouth. And look what happened. And the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. That's God, man. You think he can't heal you? You think that, I mean, this man in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, he was full of leprosy. He was contaminated. He was infested with it. This was in the final stages of leprosy. Jesus said, I will be clean. Boom. Don't think your problem is so big or so out there that God can't. He's only limited by your faith or lack thereof. And that is just a decision. I will, you be healed. Is this good? You getting some out of this? You start getting your toes in the water here? Well, we'll get up to knee deep, waist deep, neck deep, until we're floating. Floating in the will and the stream and the power of God. We can be sure that it's God's will for everybody to be healed all the time of everything because, number two, a strong spirit shall sustain a man in his infirmity. In Proverbs 18:14, it says this, and I got it in the King James here, but in the Amplified it says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain and trouble. Did God ever tell anybody to be weak? Did he ever say, well, you know what, just be weak? That is so against everything about God. It is laughable. You go ahead and be weak today, but tomorrow we'll come back to this. Or next week. Or in a month or so, let's reexamine this. Did he say any of that? No. A strong spirit shall sustain a man in bodily pain or trouble. Spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. Now, the King James is kind of weird because it's Old English. We don't sustain infirmity. A spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. You know what wounds your spirit? But a wounded spirit, who can bear? What wounds your spirit is wrong teaching. It goes in and produces a wound that starts to fester out to the point where you can't receive anything from God, let alone the truth concerning healing or any kind of wisdom from God. You resist it. You resist it, and you build these walls up, and they become mindsets. The Bible calls those fortresses. Jesus called them the gates of hell because the one who is going there forever one day is building those walls, those fortresses around your mind. And it's the word of God and the keys of the kingdom that unlocks the power of God to kick in those gates to restore a man's mind, his soul. Truth. A strong and truth going into your spirit man will reproduce after its own kind according to the incorruptible seed. You can read about that in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. It talks about the incorruptible seed by which we were born again, where God actually reproduced himself in you. The life of God, the Zoe life of God. Jesus said this, whosoever, in fact, he said, whosoever believes in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. He said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes shall have. When do you receive eternal life? When you believe. And you keep believing, and you keep, and the Bible tells us that to build up, edify ourselves by praying in the Holy Spirit, by praying in tongues. It says in Jude chapter 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, there are so many advantages to praying in tongues in the Bible that if you're not doing it, you're missing out on a lot. Don't wait for God to just give you some. Come and receive. The Holy Spirit has already been given. The gifts have already been given. You just come and receive. And know this, He wants you to have those gifts. Otherwise, why would He have given them? Ah, this takes outside help to misunderstand it. That was supposed to be funny. There's two ways you can react to these jokes, by the way. And if you choose the silent method, that's fine. We can be sure that it's God's will for everybody to be healed of everything all the time. Because number three, look at original creation. Was there any sickness in the garden before sin came in? No. Original creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says, and God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. There's nothing good about sickness. There's nothing good about disease. Nothing good about those things. They came as a result of iniquity into the world. And here's the definition of iniquity. It's really easy. It's one word, lawlessness. It is not subject to any law. That's what the carnal mind. The carnal mind is not subject to any law, any natural law. It just won't be. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not. Why is it getting so quiet in here? Original creation reveals the actual will of God. Now, His will didn't change just because man fell into sin. No, what did He do? He lost a son, so He gave a son. What did His son do? Produced a harvest of billions. Billions of sons. He was the seed of Abraham, and he was sown into this earth. And they came to Him, and they said, these Greeks are looking for you. And He said, well, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And He was talking about Himself as the seed of Abraham who should be given. Original creation. God has not changed His plan since the garden when He said, I'll send Him. He'll kick in your head and you'll bruise His heel. That happened. And then He rose from the dead. So number three, original creation. Number four, we can be sure that it's God's will for everybody to be healed of everything all the time because Jesus taught us to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Enough said? Yes. There's not. Now, when He, Jesus told us, how many of you read the WOW? We sent, or the Word of the Week we sent out, where it talks about Matthew 6:10, or the what they call the Lord's Prayer. Actually, Jesus is giving this as an outline, but He said, after this manner, pray ye. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Is that a request? Either one of those verses. No, you're declaring the wonderful, amazing God. Your name, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth. This is a declaration of faith. The Lord's Prayer has an equal number of requests as it does declarations. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. When you get up in the morning, say, Father, Your will be accomplished in my life today in Jesus' name. Your will be accomplished in my body in Jesus as it is in heaven. Your will be accomplished in my mind and in my emotions. In the name of Jesus, I declare it so, because Your word says. You can take these things and you can take them to the Father and He'll go, yeah, where do I sign? He already signed it in the blood of His Son. Amen. This is covenant reality. This is perfection. We can be sure that it is God's will for everybody to be healed of everything all the time. Because number five, we know where sickness came from. The origin of sickness. I'm not going into all of these things because I have tons of scriptures to back this up. You can look them up like I did for you, but you can't. I can't do it all here. The origin of sickness was through iniquity and sin, rebellion. And it produces chaos in your body. That's what disease is. It's chaos. It works against you. God works for you. It says in 3 John chapter 3, or verse 3, there's only one chapter. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Amen. There's a lot of Christians. They got the prosperity doctrine, but they don't have the healing doctrine. They ran into a wall and said, "You know, I prayed for healing, but it didn't happen." Who told you it didn't happen? Who told you were broke? Who told you were naked? Who told you? You haven't any business listening to the devil. You haven't any business. Take your hands off of that thing. Don't listen to the devil. He is a liar. Jesus will tell you the truth. Sickness came through sin. And God said, look, even in the Old Testament, he said, if you do this, all these blessings, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, rising up, lying down, your business will be, or your kneading trough, whatever, you'll be blessed. But if you don't do these, and then he listed like 68 verses of the curse, and every one of them has to be sickness. And in verse 61 of Deuteronomy 28, it says, "And every sickness that is not listed here is under the curse of the law. But God be praised." Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everything that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill whatever your flesh is lusting after. And just a little bit of disease, and your flesh grabs onto it. It just does. The same way your mind grabs onto temptation. This is a beautiful system that God created that the devil took advantage of and manipulated. So that the more of whatever you're getting is what you're going to want. And if you've got a seesaw, weak, limp-wristed gospel with no spine in it, with no heart in it, ripped out and made in bite-sized little pieces and very presentable so you can build a big church, wonderful. But it's not going to fly. Because someday that preacher will have to stand before God and give an account. You're going to preach truth? You're going to preach truth. That's what we do. That's what we have set our hearts to do here. We're preaching truth. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what my body says. I don't care what my finances say. I have a God who can change it all, and I'm speaking what he says about it, and I'm agreeing with him, and I'm letting it, and I'm being prosperous. And I'm being healed. And I'm being restored. I'm being reconciled, spirit, soul, body, financially, every way in life. And everything that affects me. We have need of all these things, the Bible says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is that? God's way of doing things. How does he do things? According to his word. He has always done that. He's always said something and then did it. Right from the beginning. So number five, origin of sickness. Number six, sickness is of the devil. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by who? The devil. For God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. Luke 13:16. Remember when Jesus came into the synagogue and there was a lady who was bowed over like this for 13 years. And Jesus called her to himself. He said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And immediately she stood up. And then the rabbi or whoever he was, the guy of the synagogue said, "Hey, it's the Sabbath. There are 6 days she can come for." Well, she'd been coming for 13 years. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't helped her any. And the Sabbath, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. So he said, "Look, can you deny the miracle? It's standing right here in front of you. See, if you just preach the truth in the first place." And this is what the sin, see, this is what the tithe, you notice, tithing under the old covenant was for one reason, to convert their giving into spiritual power for them. That's what tithing was for in the Old Testament. We got a supercharge now in the New Testament. But here, there is no tribe of Levi. I mean, there is a tribe of Levi, but under, if you look at the sections that when they came into the promised land and they divided them up, there's no area ascribed to Levi, because the Levitical priesthood was supposed to go and throughout the land of Israel in the synagogue system and teach and teach. And when they gave their tithes to the synagogue, it paid for the synagogue and everything, gave the preacher what he needed. But what happened was his job was to convert their giving into spiritual empowerments to them, to preach the truth to them. Here's God's principles. Here's how he works. Here is the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Here's what you do and don't do. This is the blessings of life. And that's what it was meant for. In the New Testament, we tithe because it declares that he is alive, it says in Hebrews chapter 7. Anybody argue with the fact that he's alive? Nope. Number 7, it says, we have a covenant with healing. We have a covenant of healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. It says that it says, himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. It's a done deal. You come and receive what he's already given. Amen. So we have, these are 7 things that I've mentioned here. These are 7 reasons why we can be sure it's God's will. I have 30 of them. And I can read 101 things from the Old and New Testament that Jesus said, that God said about healing. We can go through all of them. But the thing is, I want you to be absolutely sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, where sickness came from, where Jesus came from, where the power of God, what it is designed to do in your life, how you can cooperate with it, how you can do it, and how you can minister it to other people. There's no reason why people, especially Christians, should be sick and upset and depressed and forlorn. I'll tell you something. I can't even go there. If you're depressed, you're just believing the wrong thing about yourself and about other people. But if you read the Bible and you know who you are in him, what you can do through him, what you have in him, and where you are seated in him, there's no way you can be depressed. If you believe it, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Brother Hagin's old teaching. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And let it be settled forever. If God said it, it cannot be changed. That is spiritual law. This is not theory. This is spiritual law. And it cannot be undone. You can go against it, or you can just agree with it. When you agree with it, guess what? When you step off a building, you are agreeing with the law of gravity. Amen. If you're white, you go down. If you're black, you go down. If you're brown, you go down. If you're yellow, you go down. If you're educated, you go down. If you're broke, you go down. If you're rich, you go down. Whatever you're saying, because it's a law. And the Bible talks about, in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, he talks about the law of faith. This is spiritual law. This is not theory. This is not philosophy. This is spiritual law. This is how God operates. You can depend on it. You can believe in it. You can stand on it just like Jesus stood on the water. And Peter. Yep. Oh, he walked on the water because he was the Son of God. Incorrect. He walked on the water because he was a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. He operated. Yes, he was God. Yes, he was the Son of God manifest in the flesh, but he gave up all of his mighty power when he left heaven and came into the earth as a man to do what only a man can do, anointed as a prophet and teacher under the Abrahamic covenant, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and through the gifts of the Spirit, annihilated the devil. You can do the same thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he whoever believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now you have a inside track to the Father, and his name is Jesus, and he loves you. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be overcoming in everything. Read Revelation, the seven churches. He who overcomes gets this. He who overcomes gets that. He who overcomes shall do this. He who overcomes. Look. Agree with God and you will overcome. It's that simple. Those are seven things. We're going to close it right there because it's 1 minute after lunch. And you know, why don't we all just stand up? I want to do something here.